co-worker, promise keep, night in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, night in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Together and lifting up that beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated this morning. If it's your first time here today, we want to welcome you. Thank you for coming to Calvary Gospel Church to worship Jesus. If you're here in person, we have a connection card. They're out at the Welcome Center. If you just fill that out and turn it in, a few points of information. Or if you're watching online, we have a bit.ly link. You can fill that out as well. We'd love to just to get to connect with you, get to know you a little bit better, and see if there's any way that we can help be a blessing as Jesus has been a blessing to us. Amen. A few announcements. We have a ladies' bonfire coming up. Amen. Just want to make sure some excited ladies in the house coming up on the 18th. I believe it's the 18th, yes. This coming Saturday at 8:30 to 10:30. So see Lindsay Simmons, if you can wave your hand. See Lindsay Simmons over here for any more details on that. Also coming up, we have Brother Aaron Wright, evangelist and pastor from Pennsylvania, will be coming and ministering the Word of God. So let's make sure we invite some people. Come expecting. Amen. That being said, there's a few ways you can give. We have an offering box out at the Welcome Center. You can also give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can mail it in at 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can text to give. If you do text to give, though, please specify the amount and what it is for. Amen. If you'd stand with me, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We have a prayer request for Ty Haight. He does not have COVID, but he's not feeling well. And Jennifer is asking that we pray for him. Also keep pastor in prayer as he travels, and bishop as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you've given and done, all that you're doing, God. Be with Brother Haight, God. Touch his body. Bring healing to his body right now, God. Be with any unspoken requests and any unspoken need of those here in person and those watching online, God. Be with Pastor. Give him a safe and productive trip as they travel, God, throughout the country. Be with Bishop, God. Touch his body, God. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do in this service today. Father, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Today, we have the beautiful opportunity and privilege to have a baby dedication today. Amen. That's something to be excited about. New life and new birth. Amen. Now, before we move any further in the service, I just want to give a brief description. Some churches baptize babies. Here at CGC, we do not baptize babies. And the reason for that, when we read the Word of God, the Bible talks about the age of accountability. And before baptism takes place, there should be a repentance of sins. And anyone know the precious, beautiful babies? I mean, yes, they may have some accidents and do some things that displease us, but they're not out there sinning. So we don't baptize them for that, but we do dedicate them to the Lord. As Hannah of old, we give them back to the Lord, the gift that he has given to us. And when, I don't know about you, but I always thoroughly enjoy baby dedications. Amen? Amen. Just a few things to note today as we go through this dedication. We are going to be introducing the family and the baby in just a few minutes. We're going to be having the dedicatorial charge, and then there will be a brief sermon preached by Pastor Peter, and then we'll be praying over the families and giving us a time to respond to the word that has went forth for all of us. But before we introduce the families, I just want to challenge all of us briefly. These children, these babies are watching. And how we live and what we do matters. You know, Mariah is just 14 months old, but it's so precious as we bring her to the altar, she lifts her hands and she begins to worship, or she tries to clap her hands. And she's saying a few words, and she'll kind of stand up and do different things. But whenever she hears worship music playing, she tries to start singing. And she, you know, it's kind of like just a little cooing, but she tries to coo with the music. And what we do makes a difference, parents. And those around us, so let's be a godly example for our children. Amen. And even when Brother Demas was preaching this morning, she was over there getting with you. Now, she can't say, preach it, and that's good, but she just gets there and goes, da, da, or she'll say something like, mm-mm, and she'll get with it, because I'll say, preach it, or that's good, and they'll try and mimic that or say what they can do. So let's be a godly example. Amen. Amen. With that being said, we have a precious little baby girl this morning that's going to be dedicated. Jacqueline Rose Collins Rivas. She would, if the family would just stand at this time. Amen. There she is, beautiful Jacqueline. Amen. We're excited about her being dedicated to the Lord. And at this time, we have a certificate and a Bible that we are presenting to the family on behalf of CGC and Pastor Peter and the family ministry. We're excited about what God's doing with these babies and with all the families. Amen. At this time, we want Pastor Peter to come and give the dedicatorial charge.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Awesome. I love baby dedications. Not enough to keep having kids, but as long as you guys are all having kids at some point, then I can keep having baby dedications. That's awesome. I joked the other day, I said, I want another child. I just don't want a fifth, you know? And so it's like, I guess that means no more children. Yeah. But anyway, parents, family, dedication's a time for, like Brother Ben said, for parents to commit their children back to Jesus. We see this so many times in the Bible. And it's really, it's a symbol that we do, that you're doing today. We realize we're only stewards of his blessings and that we're committing to raise our children. It's not just, God, I commit my child to you. It's we're committing also for ourselves to raise our children in the ways of Christ and dedicating ourselves to this task. To the parents and the family members and friends and even the whole church that's here to support them today, let this child be a reminder that we're all in need of God's love. It's so easy to see a child. You know what's cool? You see a child and no matter what, like, I mean, yes, like Ben said, there's some moments where there's poop and stuff like that. It's not always exciting, but children are always welcoming. We're always drawn to children. And I don't know where that leaves us in the world when we stop being drawn to adults, but there's something really cool and innocent and exciting, and it really reminds me that that's the way God sees me. And he's always drawn to me. When this child runs in your arms and wants them to carry you, let it be a reminder that we can run into God's arms, that he is there for us, and we can be surrounded by his presence. Here, normally I would say dads and moms, but really there's only one couple here. So Sam, the relationship between a dad and his child is very special. I would even say between his dad and his daughter is very special. Be a leader and guide your child, your children. But not through dictatorship, Sam, but through setting an example. I say that to all of them. It's not just because Sam's here, okay? Not through dictatorship, but through setting an example and serving your children. As men, we have responsibilities, and God's driven us to accomplish these things, right? Whether it's life or spiritual or whatever. Don't let your responsibilities as a man get in the way of your God-given mandate to be a father. God, your family, your work. Kelly, God has designed you very uniquely to be the caregiver for your children. She and they, someday maybe, will come to you when they are in need. And the love that you can provide is incomparable. Even today, I'm jealous sometimes when the kids always go to my wife. It's not because I do mean things to them. It's just the love they feel from their mom. That connection is so powerful. Don't let your caregiving, the awesome things you do for your household and your family and everything else get in the way of your child and your walk with God. Brother Ben said it really awesomely, and I appreciate it, Ben, but parents, you're the example that your children get to see more than any other. They see you more than any other, especially at these young years before they go to school and are gone for 8 hours a day. They see you so much. You are creating the normal. The normal that will begin to shape who they are and what they believe. Set the example in your marriage. Set the example in your responsibilities, in your walk with God. Show them how to live life. Sam and Kelly, if you could stand and come forward with your parents. So it's really awesome. Usually we have a minister representative that's a part of that the family requests to be a part. But the minister representative here is Grandma Jessica and Grandpa John. I just love saying that because Grandma Jessica and I went to high school together. So it's really cool that mom and dad get to be a part of this and act as a minister representative. Now, if I could have the family and the friends that came to support them today, most of you are sitting in the section, if you could stand, you could work your way around front. You can kind of come up, we'll gather around them. If you're comfortable, if there's for some reason you're not comfortable, you're welcome to stay in your seat. I want you to be comfortable this morning. I'm going to ask some questions of the couple, not of the baby, she can't answer, but of the couple, and then of the family. And if it's your intention to pledge as such, just say we do, okay? Sam and Kelly, do you now present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to raise up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct this child in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer and to guide them in the development of Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability to shape the home life of this child, both by family devotion and by your words and your example, that they themselves will grow in personal relationship with Jesus and will pursue the biblical experience of salvation through repentance, baptism, and infilling of the Holy Ghost? Church family and the family around here, this is our part, right? And if you could say we will or we do here. Will you do all that you can to provide and support a place of instruction and community where this child and these parents may hear godly wisdom? Will you covenant together as a family to set an example by your lives and to maintain an atmosphere which will inspire these children to desire to live for God? Will you do as God leads you and pray for this family and this child? Sam and Kelly, if it's your intention this morning, which you've already said it is, you can present your daughter Jacqueline to Sister Jessica and Brother John. We're going to say a prayer over you as a family. So what I'd like is if you're comfortable, we see in the Bible where people put hands on each other and they prayed with them, not in some weird way, but just to denote that I care about you and I'm praying for you and I support you. And so if that's something you're comfortable with this morning, you can, and you're willing to reach up and pray, you can put your hands on Sam and Kelly. But what we're going to do is, and you could do that when we start praying. Otherwise there's this weird awkwardness where you're doing that for 20 minutes. What we're going to do is, so everybody's aware, we're going to pray for the child. And Brother Ben, if you could stand up and come over. We're going to pray for the child, and then we're going to pray for the parents. And then we're going to pray for the family, which is around here, and then all the friends in the congregation. And Brother Ben's going to lead us in that prayer. Go ahead, Brother Ben.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with this beautiful, precious child, Jacqueline Rose, God. Let your hand of protection be upon her, God. Guide her each and every day as she grows. God, let there be godly examples around her. Let her have a hunger and love for you, God, as women of old in the Bible, God. And we thank you, God, for this gift that you've given to Sam and Kelly. Let your hand of protection and blessing be upon them. Have your way on baby Jacqueline. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, now at this time, if we would just extend our hand towards the family. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus over Sam and Kelly, God. God, let them grow into be godly parents. Give them wisdom and insight on how to raise Jacqueline, God. Thank you, God, for the gift that you've bestowed upon them. And God, let your wisdom be upon them and upon your family, God. And we thank you for this. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, at this time, we're going to have a third prayer, a corporate prayer, and we're going to pray over the extended family and over all the church family, that we would be the godly example and witness that God has called us to be. Because we know that Jacqueline, through life isn't always easy. It's not always fair, but God is always just. And we ask that God would instruct us with insight and wisdom to be the godly examples to Jacqueline that he has called us to be. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for all the beautiful family that you've extended around Jacqueline. God, thank you for a wonderful church family. But Father, right now we ask in your name, God, let there be wisdom and insight, instruction and teaching, God. Give us your love and your passion as you have of children, God. Your word says, suffer the little children to let them come unto me. God, let us never be too busy for Jacqueline or any child. But Father, let us help them to grow in the admonition of you and in your word and in your instruction and insight. Have your way in all that we do, Father. And thank you for a wonderful extended family and church family. Thank you for all the miracles and blessings you're going to do in their life, God, through Jacqueline and through all that they touch and encounter. Have your way in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ben. You can find your seat. So awesome. I truly do love baby dedications. I've said it before, and I can admit it now because the other person's not here. But there was many years ago when I was in college, and Brother Joel, good to see you, brother. You did awesome this morning. I was in college, and I used to sit in the back over there, and I was sitting with Renee Strand. It was Renee Thomas. We were good friends, still are. And there was this morning, and it was like we roll in late. You know, we sit in church in the back, and it's like, you know, all of a sudden you see up on the screen, it's baby dedication day. And I look at her and she looks at me. She's like, let's go to breakfast. So we left church and went to breakfast. It's only fitting that one day God would put me in charge of baby dedications. Where he's like, now you're never leaving them. No, but in reality, my mindset, the stage of my life that I was in and am in has changed over time. And so I have four children, and I'm passionate about my children. I'm passionate about dedicating my children and my life and my family to God. But I also recognize that this is not a service for these two people. I recognize that when we bring God's word to this congregation, that it is God's word. And it is powerful and can impact every heart that is here, no matter what the message. And so for some reason, as I put together, as God speaks for messages, it's like God's, I always see what God is speaking to me, even in a baby dedication message. This morning, I want to have a, you can put up the first slide. I want to speak on the idea that from little seeds grow mighty trees. From little seeds grow mighty trees. This is a picture of a tree. I was down in Punta Gorda, Florida. My wife's from down in that area. And we were walking at this park down by Punta Gorda, and this tree was there. And the picture doesn't do it justice. The tree might only be, I don't know, 20 feet tall, 25 feet tall. But what was amazing, and we don't have the widescreen, is the tree probably came to like here, right? It was like 100 feet wide, this tree was. It was just gorgeous. And I took the picture because I was like, Sophie wants to climb this tree. I know she's going to want to climb this tree. This is an amazing tree. And this tree is always, I don't know why, every time we go down there, I drive by it, I like the tree. It's a really cool tree. And I don't think it's going anywhere, which is pretty cool. It's pretty big. But it just impressed me how big it is. And so every time I think of mighty trees, we think of the redwoods and the big giant trees and the rainforest. But this is the one that comes to mind for me. It's right on the ocean there, just a beautiful view. And so this morning I want to speak on the topic, from little seeds grow mighty trees. How many people have ever grown a plant before? How many people have ever grown a garden before? Well, I kind of tricked you there. I've never grown a plant before. I've fed it. I've watered it. But I've never grown it. When I start to think about plants and trees, and Pastor Roy just preached for like 10 weeks on fruit, right? You start thinking about these natural things in the world. There are so many verses about plants, planting, being planted, sowing, bearing fruit in the Bible. So for me, though, this morning, I want to focus on a verse that maybe doesn't make sense for a baby dedication. But it's in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 through verse 9. And this is Paul speaking, and he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now the one planting and the one watering are one in purpose, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's co-workers. We are God's co-workers. You are God's field and God's building. So let's put this in perspective. So the Apostle Paul is not talking about a baby. Okay, he's talking to a church. This is a letter he writes to a church. But what's interesting is when he starts this letter at the beginning of the chapter, when he starts this section of his letter, he's saying, I know some of you are kind of young and immature in the faith. That's okay. And so I need to feed you little bits of information first. So he's talking maybe to a baby church or just a church that's growing. But there's something going on in this church because we don't always see what they wrote to him, but we see how he responded. And his response was, I planted, Apollos watered. So there's two people, it's him and Apollos. And what was happening at this time is people were like, well, I want to listen to Brother Ben preach. Maybe we should do what Brother Ben wants. And well, no, this group, we're going to follow Brother Paul. Brother Paul, he's got it right. He's like, no, you guys don't get it. You don't get it. We're in this together. Sometimes I'm planting, sometimes I'm watering. It doesn't really matter because God is providing the increase. Maybe not the context we're used to in a baby dedication. But this morning I want to talk about from little seeds grow mighty trees. And the word I focus on is grow. So how does this apply to parenting? Well, there's a couple things I take away from this verse. Number one, planting is an action. It's a verb. It's something I can do. It refers to the environment we are placing our children in to grow. It refers to the environment, those of you that aren't dedicating your children, which is everybody else, and it refers to the environment we are putting ourselves in to grow. The dictionary says it's to pour or says to, it's to place a seed, a bulb, or a plant in the ground so it can grow. Right? It's not you're going to grow this plant. It's that you plant it somewhere so it can grow. Psalms 92 verse 12 says the righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. They are placed in the house, they're planted in the house of the Lord, and they thrive in the courts of their God. And they will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. There's all kinds of verses about this in the Bible, but this one's pretty cool because it's like, if you're planted in the Lord, so I just said, where you're being planted is the environment you want to grow in, right? Well, when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you're going to thrive in the courts of God, and you will bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. So planting is an action I can do for my children, Sam and Kelly. Where I plant them, the soil I plant them in, the location I plant them is important. If I plant them in front of an iPad all day long, there's stuff that comes out of that, some good, some bad. If I plant them and don't plant them in the house of God, if I don't plant them in the things of God and in God's word, if I don't create that environment in my house where this is where I'm planting them in a healthy place for God, then we won't have the great things that God has for us. The second lesson I learned is that watering is an action that I can do. Watering refers to the things we're bringing into their lives. Planting is where we put them. Watering is the things we bring into their lives to feed them. The dictionary says watering is essentially just pouring or sprinkling over a plant or area in order to encourage plant growth. Once again, it's not growing. The actions are planting and watering. Isaiah 58:11 says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." There are so many different things we get to put into our children's lives. Yes, planting is where we put them, the environment we choose to grow them, but there's so many things we allow them to be fed by in this world. Some are good and some are bad. The things we feed them will bring about their result. We feed them good water, they're going to be green and grow, right? Just regular plants. We don't water them and they're going to be like that flower that just hangs from my thing that's dead and there's just pieces falling everywhere at the front of my house because there's no water in it. Watering is an action I can do. The third lesson I learned from this verse is that growth or growing is not an action. I did look it up. I was curious. It is still a verb. Now, keep in mind here, I went to engineering school. English was not in, like, there's no spell checks really in those. Like, they're not really checking you, you know. So I did need to do some research. I'm not the smartest when it comes to English. Growing is a verb, but it's not something you do. It's something that happens as a result of other things. I can only plant my children, and you can only plant your children in the right place and provide the right water so God's growth can happen. The dictionary says it's a verb, but it's undergoing development by increasing in size and changing physically. That's what growth is. It's undergoing development, meaning it's just happening. It's sort of passive, but it's not just passively happening no matter what you do. It's passively happening depending on where you plant it and what you feed it. That determines how it's going to grow. Growth is the process of growing, development, increasing, expanding. This is challenging for me. This is challenging for me because as somebody who wants to do things right, and I can do this. I can figure life out. I can get my budget in order. We'll do this. I'll do this work thing. I want to grow my children. I want to see the result of beautiful leaves and a big tree, a mighty tree. I want to see fruit in their lives. And so I spend my time focusing on that fruit. I spend my time focusing on the size of the tree. I spend my time focusing on what type of tree it might be. I spend my time looking at other trees. Ooh, yeah, that's why aren't my kids like that tree? I spend my time focusing on the result of growth. And in doing so, I miss the planting. In doing so, I miss the watering. And because of that, the trees die. Growth is a result of the process. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. The man who trusts in mankind, who makes human flesh his strength, and turns his heart from the Lord is cursed. He will be like a juniper in Araba. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. Then it contrasts. The man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord, is blessed. And he will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. Its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. You see the same message in Psalms 1, verse 1 through 4. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And because of this, he will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. There's a lot in those two verses, but essentially it's saying if we plant ourselves in the things of God, we will prosper. We will have fruit. We will grow. We will have greenery. We will provide some sort of value to the environment around us. But if we don't plant ourselves in the things of God, there'll still be some growth, but not with purpose. This verse is so challenging because it's essentially saying, I want to be like, for me, I read it, I say, I want to be like that tree. I want to have fruit. I want to, what does it say at the end here? It says, I don't want to fear when heat comes in Jeremiah. I want to bear fruit in my season. I don't want my leaf to wither. I want everything I do to prosper. Well, then I need to be planted in God's word. I need to be planted in the house of God. Because by doing that, it's just like being by streams. And the fruit and the growth and the greenery and the purpose all comes out of that. Because I'm focused on the process of planting and watering and the result follows. I'm focused on the process of planting and watering and the result, which is growth, follows. I don't focus on growth. The last lesson. So lesson number one, planting is an action I can do. Watering is an action I can do. Growth is not an action. That comes from God. And the fourth lesson, parents, if I can stretch maybe the verse a little bit, it takes both of you engaged in your children. It doesn't matter to me. Maybe I'll get in trouble. I don't know. But it doesn't matter to me who does what, really. Throw away what society is defining as roles and who should and who shouldn't. To me, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you are both involved and engaged in your children's lives and in each other's lives. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be super intelligent. You don't have to have everything together. You just have to have a desire to want to do it because God will help you. Men, for those of you that have children, and Sam, don't let your wife bear the burden of the planting and watering. It takes both of you. You work together. So what does that look like? Well, talk about where and how you're going to plant your children. That's a conversation. Well, that's a weird conversation, Peter. Yeah, because it's not happening much. It's not happening much. Just because it's weird doesn't make it wrong. It's right. If you don't have a plan, you'll hit it every time. work together. Talk about where and how you want to plant your children. Make a plan for the things you want in your child's life. Talk about it. We're having conversations now, Casey and I, about our children. Like, we want to reduce some of this influence in their life. How do we do that? We want to increase this influence in their life. How do we do that? We have it on paper. We're writing it down. This is our goal for our family. And you know what? We're probably going to fail, okay? We're probably going to fail in the next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks as we're trying to implement this. But that's not a reason to not start. We want to have a plan for our children. And lastly, we want to make a plan for our family. It takes both of you. Make a plan. You can start to play here. I'm closing up. It's baby dedication. But what about everybody else? Maybe you're not dedicating a child today. Maybe your children are old and out of the house. Maybe your children are old and out of the house and still sitting next to you, Brother Seidel. Maybe you've never had children in your youth team. Maybe you're a child and you're paying attention miraculously. Maybe you're a member of CMI and you're just coming in from college. I don't have kids. I should have done what he said and gone to breakfast. I have a question for you. Where are you planting your life? Where have you planted yourself? What are you planting in? What are you watering your life with? What are the things, the influences, the things you're feeding yourself today, tomorrow, yesterday, the last 3 weeks? I'll speak for myself. I've seen it in my life and I've seen it in the life of others, but for me, it's easy to say, God, this isn't fair. Things are going poorly. I can't get over this hump. Why does this stuff keep happening to me? I spent a lot of time praying and wondering and worrying about that. And I didn't like the answer. He said, Peter, you're planting yourself in the spots that's going to give you that. You're watering yourself with things that are going to give you that. Why am I always negative? Because you're always reading the news. Why don't I have friends? Because you're always staying by yourself. Why am I always anxious and depressed and worried? Because you're not in my word. I'm like, well, God, that's not my fault. No, Peter, it actually is. God has a principle. For me, I call it the principle of processes, but He has a principle that when we follow the process, the result happens. The result happens. And so much of my life was spent focused on the result. Pastor Roy spoke for so many weeks on fruit. So much of my life was spent wanting fruit. God, how do I get joy? I'm going to start just being joyful. I'm just going to just grit and bear it. This is peace. I am peaceful. I'm patient. And then I had kids and then I realized there's no patience. Right? And I just said, I will make it happen. And God said, no, that's not fruit. That's you trying to fabricate one of those plastic oranges in a glass jar. Fruit comes from me, God, is what God's saying, not from me. God said, fruit comes from me. Peter, quit worrying about the fruit. Quit worrying about the leaves. Quit worrying about the tree. You might be this tree. You might be a little tree. You might be a Christmas tree. I don't know. But don't worry about it. Because what you are, you are. You can't change it. What you can do is plant yourself in the right spot and water yourself with the right things. You're feeding yourself. Actually, the food example is a great example. Right? When I eat McDonald's a lot, there was a movie about this. When I eat McDonald's a lot, it has certain effects on my body. I like McDonald's. Hate me if you want. There's a reason there's, 5 trillion burgers served, right? Like, it's not the healthiest thing in the world. In fact, it's not healthy at all, right? But when I put that in my life, there is a result to it. When I eat more vegetables and whole foods and grains, there's a result to it. Right? And the same applies spiritually. When I am spending time in God's Word. Yeah, but in the moment, it's just, I don't see anything happening. I'm just reading God's Word. I said a prayer today, Ben. They sang about it. Even when I don't feel like you're working, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Because growth happens when we're putting ourselves in the process. But Peter, I want to grow. Then put yourself in the process. But Peter, I want to have fruit. Then put yourself in the process. All of God's Word is about putting yourself in the process. And it happens emotionally too. We're feeding ourselves these things, and they're never going to bring about the result you're looking for. They're going to bring about the result that they're going to bring about. It's just natural. But God has said, I have awesome things planned for you. And you know what else he said? I don't care about your yesterday. I don't care about what base you started on. Or if you have failed time and a time again. I don't care if you failed this morning or in the back. He is not worried about the giant weeds in your garden. He is not worried about the lack of growth on your tree. He is not worried about your leaves or your fruit or the size or width of your tree. I worry about weeds. Well, all these things, God, I can't grow. Look at all these weeds. We have raspberry bushes. They're not growing because of all the weeds, right? And I'm sitting there, and God's like, focus on the process. I've got you. I don't care about the weeds. We can remove those. There's going to be work. We can remove the weeds. We can make it so those raspberry bushes can start to see a little bit more sunlight, get a little more water because the weeds aren't taking them up. God's like, I'm not worried about that. He has awesome things for your life. God is here today to love you, to care for you, to bless you, to heal you, to remove all of your anxieties and fears, to remove depression, to remove your addictive behaviors, and to heal your past. Don't worry about those things. Put yourself in the process. Don't worry about growth. If everyone could stand with me this morning. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Let me read that again. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, walk in him. Well, what does walking in him look like? Because that's all over the Bible. Rooted and built up in who? In who? In him. And established in the faith, just as you were taught Wednesday night by Sister Jessica, in the faith. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, not religion. Don't plant yourself in a church. Don't plant yourself in a religion. Don't plant yourself in rules and regulations. They will not make you happy, and they will not make you closer to God. Plant yourself in Jesus. Root yourself in Jesus. Root yourself in his word, in prayer, and getting closer to God. God, I want to know you more than anything because of the fears and the anxieties and the depressions and my scrolling on Facebook and this movie and me just distracting myself isn't taking it away. I want to see good fruit in my life, God. And I know I can't just magically have it appear. I can't choose to have fruit in my life. You grow. Plant yourself in Jesus. Establish yourself in the faith. Water yourself with his word. This is your chance to respond. If you want to stand where you're standing and just pray a prayer to God, that's fine. If you'd like to come around, we've got a bigger area in the front here. Do you want to come around the front and kneel or stand and talk to God? You're welcome to do that. If this is your first time, or maybe you've been here a few times, but you're a visitor and you're not really comfortable doing that, come to the front. We have people that'll pray with you. If you're part of the family here and maybe God's speaking to you in some way, Brother John and Sister Jessica, Sister Linda, Brother Kevin, they'd be happy to pray with you. Where are you planting yourself? What are you watering yourself with this morning? Pastor Roy and the pastoral staff here. We just want to thank everybody for coming this morning. For those of you that came to support the family and the beautiful baby and the couple, thank you so much. It was great to have you here. Great to worship with you. I'm sure they're going to want to take some pictures out in the back, but Brother John will help you get out there and take some pictures. But everybody else, God bless you as you go about your day. It's just awesome to be in the house of God. Thank you so much.